actually had a big part in sowing seed in his heart, of course, along with his parents, the Bridges family. But he is just really sweet to hear him not only receive the Lord. He asked the Lord in his heart several months ago, but then at his grandmother's birthday party, he took the clean heart track that we have and ran through the building giving clean heart tracks out, showing everybody how they could know they're forgiven of their sin. And I tell you what, that was precious. So if you're not familiar with that, how to be forgiven of your sin, I'll give you to Hunter, and he can explain that to you, and that would be incredible. But praise the Lord. That was really neat. So again, this is our I'm in the sermon series. it was going to be a message. I thought it'd go a couple weeks, but we're on week number 5, not 4, and that's my bad. And we're really just talking about the vision that God has for our church, and really our need just to be focused on the Lord so that we can properly focus on ministry. If you're joining us on Facebook Live, we're glad that you're with us this morning. We'd love to have you here as soon as possible. And if you don't have a Bible, just grab one. There should be one in the seat rack in front of you if you want to follow along. We're going to start on page 941 of that Bible in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. And so we are glad that you are here with us this morning. I'm going to ask you a question to get started with. When you think of the word capitulate, what do you think of? Now, I brought this up last week, so hopefully somebody's on their A game. What's that? Giving it over. That's a good word. You know, like the 49ers gave, I'm just saying that they had to finally, you know, the clock stops, you have to give up. It's over. If you didn't know, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl last week. So anyway, So capitulate means to just give over, right, to surrender. Literally, when you look up in Webster's Dictionary, it's a surrender, as and the analogy is as an army garrison. So it really is to fly the white flag and surrender. Say, I give up. I give in. And so 4 weeks ago, as we launched into this series and this message concerning 2020, we started in Psalm chapter 27, and we saw David's longing to dwell in the temple of the Lord and behold the beauty of the Lord. And I went talked in some length about that. We noted the distinction of David's heavenly longing with his earthly reality. And we considered how important it was for him personally to find wholeness and holiness, which is really the theme for this year, is finding that wholeness and holiness in a broken world. Christ is the only place to find wholeness. And we have all kinds of pseudo-solutions, placebo solutions, but none of them work. If you really want to be cured of the cancer of sin, if you really want to be made whole, you must come in at the door, and that door is Jesus Christ. And we talked about that as well. We saw the second point of study was that in 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16, that we are holy, right? So it's not only a longing that we have for eternity like David had, but it's also an identity that we have. We are holy because, well, he is holy, and he is now in us, and we are changed if you are born again. And so wholeness and holiness is an issue of the heart as we long for eternity, as we realize our identity, and therefore we trust God to fulfill our ministry. And that's really what I started in on the last couple of weeks, and I'm still working on this discussion. So for the last couple of weeks, we've talked about and continued in Isaiah chapter 6, where we are this morning, noting that Isaiah realized that he himself was corrupted in his flesh by the culture in which he lived, right? When he really got with the Lord, he realized that, wow, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. I'm affected by the culture. I mean, is there anyone in here today that really can raise their hand and say, oh, I'm untouched by this world in which we live? I have a pristine conscience. You know, everything is pure as the day I was born. Of course not, right? From our youth, as we've come up, our conscience gets corrupted. I can remember, I tell my kids this story. It's just because I don't know how many of you can remember the time that you realized you were a sinner, but I have an event in my life where I realized I was a sinner. I was at Six Flags, and of I think St. Louis, it may have been Texas, over Texas. I don't remember which one it was. I was literally a little toddler kid, and I picked me up a corncob pipe at this little place we were. It was awesome, you know, all these trinkets. And I grabbed me a corncob pipe and headed out the door with my family, and I'm like, we're walking down the way, you know, little asphalt way, wherever it was. And what I remember is my dad saying, Brian, where'd you get that pipe? I'm like, well, back there, you know. And then it set in on me as they told me, you just stole that. You know, I don't remember exactly what they said, But it was just terrible. It's just like, oh, you know, and I just knew I was a thief, you know, and I was a sinner. And the law of my conscience was violated because I didn't really know I'd sold it until I heard the law, which is you're not supposed to do that without paying for it. I'm like, oh, okay. You guys are going to have to clue me in on this, you know. And so I violated it. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Once I was made privy to it, I was guilty. And you know what? That's really how it is. This world, it affects us whether we know it or not. You are affected by this sin. But unlike Isaiah, right, we're not just purged with a hot coal off the altar. We're purged with the blood of Christ. When you get saved, you are holy because he's holy, and it affects your identity. And God does that. So like Isaiah, you and I can answer the call. And we really kind of left off with that discussion in Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah answers the call. He says, here am I, send me, right? Who's going to go for me? The Godhead's asking, who's going to go? Who's going to represent me? Not just anybody. He needs people that will be holy because he's holy. And he needs them to go out, and he needs them to go in his power. And, of course, we talked also about last week, I gave you some impetus, right? I gave you some reason, some motivation as we continued to talk about that door. I introduced the door early on several weeks ago. I brought it back up last week because we know the door is going to open. The church is going to be caught up, and our ability to interact with people is going to change as believers, right? Right now, we can bring holiness in the form of a gift, an opportunity to receive grace and forgiveness. We can come as ambassadors of peace. We can come as those encouraging people to reconcile themselves to God, bringing terms of peace to people that are at enmity or at war with God, just like I was before March 25th, 1987. So we're on a peacekeeping mission. We're on a peace-giving mission, not a keeping mission. We're the ones offering peace. We're offering conditions of peace because we understand that Jesus Christ has already won the war for sin, right? He already won the war. So all we're saying is, like, guys, whether you recognize this or not, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ did die on the cross. Jesus Christ did die for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. He is alive right now. And so we are here in Christ's stead, reconciling men and women and children to God. Here are the terms of peace. Would you capitulate? Would you acknowledge? Would you acknowledge? Jesus didn't just win an election. He won everything. He won the world. He won the universe, man. He is in charge. But there are people that want to contest the Lord's authority. And they don't want to agree. They don't want to capitulate to his victory over sin and death. So someday we'll return. And we left off talking about that last week and what that's going to be like. I'm not going to rehearse that. You might want to go back and listen to that message again if you missed it. So our call today is very clear, though. You guys know it here at HBF. Our mission statement is to equip the saints of God and the Word of God to accomplish the mission of God and the power of God for the glory of God. Hallelujah. And the mission of God is simply to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we know that's found in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. And there's more to it, but that's what I want to talk about this morning. So that's it. That's our call today. So what does that mean to you practically? You know, have you come to that place, first of all, that you've made terms with Christ? Have you capitulated to his terms of peace? Right? Have you said, yes, you are the Lord, I give up, I surrender, and I will receive the gift of eternal life. You are my only way, you are the only truth, you are the life. I come to you, and I give up all, and I trust you and you alone. My faith is in your finished work and your faith, because you're the one that had the faith to redeem me. So I'll receive that gift. That's the gift of eternal life. That's the gospel. That's why it's good news. You don't have to work your way to heaven. You simply receive the gift that's offered. And man, you are born again when you call upon the name of the Lord in faith and trust him as Lord and Savior. Okay, so that's huge. But then from there on, God has called us, right? He's made us holy because he's holy. So there's a process of sanctification, setting ourselves apart in the Word of God. And he does that so we can really begin to serve, right? Because not everybody really, even when you get saved, you don't really, like a baby, you don't even know you're born. All you know is you're hungry. Some of you right now, the evidence of your salvation is your hunger for the Word of God. You're not really ready yet to go and feed anybody else. But that's what we're here to do as a church, is to help grow you up, to equip you in the Word of God, so that you can become mature enough to offer terms of peace and to be the ambassador that God has called you to be. so that people who come to peace can come to you and you can bring them to the church and you can help them grow up themselves, right? It's just a process of, well, discipleship. That's what HBF is all about. That is the mission. Go ye therefore and teach. That word teach means disciple. Make disciples. Right? That's what we're all about, is getting people saved, getting them grown up so that they can go out and see other people saved and grow them up. We don't just want to make babies, right? We want to raise them. And there's a problem in society. We know that when babies make babies, then your society is not very stable, is it? You need stability. You need a family unit. You need God's will. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get mad at me. My mother was a teenage mama, so I understand, all right? It happens. But you know what? Spiritually speaking, we need to do better, don't we? We got to grow up. We got to take care of the fruit that God gives us. We don't just go around making babies and say, praise the Lord, they're saved. Hope the Lord takes care of them. No, we try to bring them in the house. We try to put a bottle in their mouth. We try to grow them up. We try to give them every opportunity to succeed so that they can be everything God wants them to be to accomplish his mission. I love what James was praying for little Hunter up here. That's exactly what we need to be praying, that God takes every child that trusts Christ and he's anointing. So when everyone is born again, is anointed, they got the Spirit of God in them. They've been set apart for God's use. All right, so I haven't got to my message. That's my introduction. So if you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to bounce this morning. I'm not leaving the building. I'm just going to bounce off of Isaiah chapter 6. And if you could stand, verse 8, Isaiah 6, 8, as we read God's word. Then you want to put a finger back in Isaiah 1, because that's really where we're going to finish. So we're going to bounce out of 6, 8, over to Isaiah 1. The Bible says in Isaiah 6 and verse 8, the apostle, Isaiah is now receiving this vision. We've read it for the last several weeks. And he finally says, also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? I like that us there. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Then said I, here am I, send me. So that is exactly the response that God wants when we capitulate, right? When we submit to his will. Now in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 1, God gives Isaiah a message, and this isn't all of the message, but this is, in essence, a good summary of what and why he was called. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye have stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. He's saying, why should I keep spanking you guys? Because you're just not getting the message. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of thy foot unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate and overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, and as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. And then I mentioned in our previous sermon, verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. And he identifies them as Sodom, because that's how they would insist on behaving. And give ear unto the law of our God, O ye people of Gomorrah. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne, just hearing these sober words and looking at it in light of the call that Isaiah received in chapter 6. And Heavenly Father, you called this man out of the culture of Sodom and Gomorrah to bring a message. It was certainly a message of sober judgment, but it was also a message of hope. sprinkled throughout it was many references to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in many different ways, in many different passages. And yet he was really introducing his vision here and showing the folks that they had a decision to make. What identity would they choose? And so, Heavenly Father, we do want to be like David. We want to long, we want to yearn for holiness. We want to be in the beauty and see the beauty of the Lord. We want to have that as our heart's desire. Lord, we also want our identity, Lord, to be realized in you. Heavenly Father, we want to see that the ministries in which we're involved in are not just busy activity, but they're eternal in weight and value to you, Lord, that we are called as your ambassadors, that we care about what you care about, and we go and we share what you tell us to share, Lord, with the people that you have already shown that you died for, that you love. Lord, you love this world, and you gave your Son, Father. So we thank you for that gift. And Lord, may we present the terms of peace to everyone we can, and may we become like that Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, because we will return with him in Revelation 19. And we look forward to the Lord knowing that the door is you, that you are the one knocking it soon. The door will open, and we'll be caught up together with you in the air. And forever, we'll be with you. And the time of this life where we get up every day and choose what we're going to do will be over because the choices will be made. We thank you, Lord, for that hope that we have. But today, Lord, I pray you give us sound mind or good wisdom and a want to, Lord, to follow you in obedience. We just thank you and we praise you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so this is a familiar passage. I've only tread over ground that we already know, so I'm not going to rehearse all of the details that we've already seen. But I want you to see this as we continue to think about this aspect of wholeness and holiness and really now putting handles on holiness. You know, we really want to make sure, like Isaiah, that we fulfill the ministry call that God has given us. Are you fulfilling your ministry call? Again, the key word here is capitulation. Capitulation. Have you submitted to what God has for you today? I mean, in this room, it's possible there's someone right now that God is calling to salvation, right? You're really not fully abreast of much else in this life other than maybe you're like I was as a child. Your conscience is just being quickened to the reality of how sinful you are, both willingly and ignorantly, right? I was ignorantly sinful, but it wasn't long before that I could tell you a lot of stories of being willingly sinful, right? We've all bought that t-shirt, and we all know the burden that puts on our heart. And we know how sin affects us, and it's a terrible thing. And that's why we all need, I don't care who I'm talking to, man, everyone needs forgiveness, and everyone needs Jesus. And God knows that, and that's why he sent his Son. It's just that simple, man. God loves, when he says he loves the world, he isn't kidding. He loves the world. He's concerned about our condition. He's already provided the solution before you were even born. Jesus Christ was born, and Jesus Christ died, and Jesus Christ resurrected. Right before you woke up this morning, the Holy Spirit was moving about, touching the hearts of people, preparing them to receive the Word of God this morning. God wants to speak to his people, but he also wants to call all men everywhere to repent. We saw that last week as well. So God's call to salvation is important. You will not fulfill your call to go if you never know God is calling at all, right? And so it's important that we herald the Word of God. And again, just bouncing off of what I said last week, and if you're here this morning, I just want to make you understand as clear as I can, the first step in answering God's call is simply capitulate to his terms of peace through Jesus Christ. Just say, you know what? I surrender. I receive the gift of eternal life. Maybe right now you need to do that. I don't even need to wait till the end of the message. If you're here this morning right now and you're saying, Brian, that's where I need to be, would you just say, that's me? Just raise your hand. I'll just take you right now. You need to be saved. That's what I'm talking about. You need to be born again. Anyone at all? You need to be saved. If you do, I mean, today's the day of salvation. I'll have someone meet you right now where you're at. I know you're like, Brian, are you saying, you're calling me out right here? I am. Because Jesus Christ got on a tree naked. I mean, and exposed himself to the world in his humility. And it was a terrible thing that Jesus had to endure for my sin and for your sin. And so if you're serious about following Jesus, man, follow him. Make a decision. Seek me out. Find somebody here. We'll help you understand what it is to be saved. Now, I'm not doing that to be tricky or to make be dramatic either. So I'm really being serious here about this. I'm not trying to manipulate anyone or force anybody or drive a point or a wedge. right? That's not my heart either. But I am wanting to drive everybody here to a point of decision today, because God wants us to be in His perfect will. And for some of you, maybe that's salvation today. You just need to really settle that thing. You need to be saved, because if you're not, the rest of what I'm about to say ain't going to matter. So I want you to get on board, get on the bus with God, and go. Because God loves you, and He has so much for you. God is not willing that any should perish, even though He is holy, holy, holy. The Father loves humanity and is determined that He would redeem it through the sacrifice of His Son. And today is the day to receive that gift of eternal life. So, what you need to do today as well, if you want to fulfill the ministry, is some of you say, well, Brian, I'm saved. Okay, I'm not gonna argue with you about it. Okay, then if you're saved, follow Jesus. That's simple. If you're saved, follow Jesus. On His terms. On His terms. Follow Jesus on His terms. Because He gives us the terms. The terms are right here. Now, when you look at this term, an agreement, right? And if I just go to the New Testament, it's a lot easier, right? Because that's really where we are. So this part of the terms. Follow these part of the terms to start with. All this gives you light and insight to this part, all right? You're like, man, Brian, that's too much. I can't bear it. I knew you'd say that. So what I want to do is help you, right? I want to make you the on-ramp as easy as possible. I want to break the Bible down for you in a way. As a matter of fact, I don't even want to do it because I got a lot going on. I want to get somebody with you to sit down with you so you can open up the Bible personally with somebody so they can go as slow as you need to go or as fast as you need to go so that you can learn the Bible. We call that discipleship around here. Well, that's because that's what the Bible calls it. That's learning about who Jesus is. That's the next step. You got to learn of Him. You got to learn. I got saved, but I didn't know nothing. I was zealous, but not according to knowledge. I had to have someone sit down with the Bible and open it up. Now, in your Bible, in the book of John, I want you to see this. This is what happens. There's a call to come and see. There's a call to salvation this morning that's offered. It's already out there on the table. But for some of you, you need to come and see. God calls those of us who are saved to come and see. And it sounds something like John chapter 1 and verse 38. John 1:38. Jesus, it says, turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? What are you looking for? What do you want? And they answered unto him, Rabbi, which is being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? Where do you live? And he saith unto them, come and see. And they came and they saw and they dwelt and abode with him all that day. For it was about the 10th hour. That's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They stayed with him that day. They wanted to see where he lived. They wanted to see where he dwelled. You know, remember the start of the sermon series? That's what we talked about. What David wanted to see was the place in which God dwelled, his temple. He wanted to behold his beauty. He wanted to see all of that. And in the meantime, he went to the tabernacle and he did what he was supposed to do in the tabernacle, which was also a picture and a type of what he longed for in eternity. Well, guess what, beloved? If you really want to take your right next step, you say you're saved, you need to identify with the household of faith. You need to identify with a local New Testament church. You see, we live in a time like Judges where everyone does that which is right in their own eyes. And not everybody really understands the significance of the local New Testament church and why we really exist. But if you want to put handles on holiness, before we ever talk about ministry, you got to get your head around what in the world the church is even doing here, right? We're not just here to have a Sunday, you know, pep talk, right? That's not why I exist. I'm not your motivational speaker. You can get Tony Robbins. Now, he'll cuss like a sailor behind the scenes. But when you get him out on that stage, man, he'll convince you that you can do anything. That's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to convince you that Jesus Christ has already done everything. I'm here to let you know that you got to rest in Him. I'm not a pep talk speaker. That's not what I do. I'm here to communicate and convey the message that God has given all of us. And so that's what I'm trying to do, is just help us understand we need to follow Jesus. We need to see what it's like in His house. You say, well, man, I got to die to get there like David. Well, in the meantime, why don't you just park it right here at HBF and learn what it's like in this house? Because this is a foreshadow. This is a pre-runner. This is it. Because this is where God's getting it done, inside the context of the local New Testament church. God is calling some of you to draw closer. He wants you to come out of the crowd. Right? There's crowds of people following Jesus. But these boys wanted to get up close and personal. They wanted to go check him out up close and personal. They wanted to find out what it really is all about. You know, we get a crowd here every Sunday. But you don't really learn what it's all about unless you start to draw closer. There's ways to do that. There's adult Bible fellowships. There's Next Steps meetings. We had one last week, right? You can learn more about what it's all about. And you can learn, you can draw closer and check it out. Because what it is what Jesus is doing in his house. You guys tracking with me? Okay, keep up. Because you got to come and see. You got to have a want to. Galatians 6 and verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. You say, well, Brian, this is a house of charity. We're supposed to love God, love people, and go to the world. I say that all the time because it's so true. But he says, you know what? Most of all, in Galatians 6:10, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. If you really want to see where Jesus is working, it starts in the house. This is like the motor, right? This is like where this is the engine. This is where things are humming. And there's a lot going on here all week long. This is a 7-day-a-week operation. And God is working in and out and through this place all the time. God is working in his and through his church. And if you want to know where his household is, it's the household of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is his household because we are his children. We are his sons, and he is investing in us. We are going to get his inheritance. Now, not the building, right? But y'all are the household of faith. God has a household of faithful men and women who believe God's word, and he's calling us to come and see this morning. What is it? Maybe you've been around a little while and you're like, yeah, I know all this, Brian. I know the drill. Good. I'm glad you do. What is it that God's calling you to draw closer to? Isaiah 1:8-9, you know, we saw that call of Isaiah. But you know what he was really doing? You know, it's really, really weird. In chapter 1, look in the text there. You guys still there? If you are, look at the text. It says, in verse 8, it's a strange analogy. He says, well, verse 7, he says, your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. So the time of this particular message, it wasn't a very good situation in the land of Israel. And he says this, though, in verse 8, and the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard. Okay, there's vineyards around here. I can kind of get a picture of that, you know, building a cottage in the middle of a vineyard. Okay, I'm not quite sure about this, you know, lodge in a garden of cucumbers, but a lodge in the, I can see it. I just don't know quite what that's all about. Maybe they're making pickles. I don't know. So, so there's a lodge in the middle of cucumbers, but then don't miss this. As a besieged city, in both cases, those structures are in the midst of a field of some sort. One with cucumbers, one as a vineyard. And then Isaiah drops at the end. Oh, and by the way, God's people are in the midst, it's like being in a besieged city. You know what that's like, right? That's like in the old time, they had walls around the city. They'd roll up with engines of war. Man, they'd bombard the walls of those cities, man. They basically would lay hold on the populace, and the populace would have to hide within the walls. And he says, you guys are under bondage. You're locked down. That troubles me as a pastor, because I see that in the church. I've seen that for the last 30 years of my Christian walk. There's a lot of people in Christianity today, born-again believers, and that's what they're living like. You know, and this is something that God could be calling you closer to when it comes to being a disciple. Even those of you guys that are a little more salty and think you know it all. Okay? So, because this is the thing. At some point in time, you have to decide if you're going to just stay in your enclave while the world around you goes to hell in a handbasket, or you're going to trust God to do something outside the city walls. You don't want to step into that war zone, do you? Unless you're ready and you're full of faith. There's also, I could preach this, man. I don't have time. This is not my message. There's some messages in the Bible about this. Some other messages I could talk about, but we won't. Go back and study the besieged cities in the Bible. It's fascinating. But I just want to go there, but I don't think God wants me to. Okay, so I just want you to understand this. The world around them is a mess. And they're like surrounded. They're like a cottage. They're like a lodge in a vineyard. They're like a city that's besieged, a fortress. Beloved, this church is like a fortress. Every local New Testament church that believes the Word of God is like a fortress. When you come in here, I pray that it is like the world dissolves. And for just at least a couple hours, 3 hours on Sunday morning, an hour and a half or two on Sunday night, Wednesday night, and the other meeting, you can just come in here and go, man, I'm free from it all. Maybe this year in 2020, the thing you need to do is commit to being in church. You know, making what is going on here a part of your life. Understanding what is going on here. It's amazing how much is going on here that I promise you, many of you have no idea about. Not because we're not talking about it. You're just not paying attention. And I know there's a lot of other things pulling at all of us. And you can only do so much. I know that. I'm not trying to lay blame on anything. I'm not even trying to tell you to get more involved. I'm really not. I'm not. I'm just asking you, what is God calling you to see? To check out? Because this is what I can tell you. Outside, whether it's this local New Testament church or one of our sister churches or any local New Testament church that's really committed to God's word and fulfilling God's mission, okay? We're not the only church in town. We're not the only church in Missouri. We're not the only church in America. There's plenty of great churches. Praise God for that for now. We're salt and light. But I can tell you this. Outside of what's going on inside of Bible-believing local churches, there ain't much out there in this world that's going to satisfy you. As a matter of fact, there ain't nothing out there that's going to satisfy you. There ain't nothing. Well, you see, Brian, people have disappointed me at church. Yeah, I know. I've heard that before I was even saved. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's still his church. And that church is still there for you. You're always going to be disappointed in a hospital. You know what you're going to see in a hospital? You know what you're going to see in a family? You're going to see friction. You're going to see traction. You're going to see sickness. You're going to see health. Does that not go on in your family? Anybody that have a family, there's never any sickness? I don't know. In our family, my daughter threw up last night. I didn't come home and say, you know what? I am so tired of the sickness in this family. I'm leaving, Amy. I can't take it anymore. Because you're going to make me sick. I'm out. Is that the way to respond to sickness? No, you come and say, oh, honey, what happened? What did you eat? You better not be kissing anybody. No, just... So... Right, you families are families, churches are churches. And by the way, war is war, and there ain't very many safe places you can go in this world. But you can come to the household of faith. So Hebrews 10:25 tells us, "Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together." As the manner of some is, there's some people that's the manner, that's the way they roll, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting is, I love exhorting, exhortation, right? It's not just building one another up, that's edifying. Exhorting has got a little bit more pop in it, right? It's like, that gives me a little freedom. It's like, Brian doesn't just have to say, holy, holy, holy. I can say, holy, holy, holy! Man, we can get excited about what God's doing, man. We got to exhort one another. If you're going to get cranked up, the game's over, guys. It's over. They won. The party's over. So what do you need to do now? Now you need to get where the real game is at, and you got to get plugged into God's word, and you got to get exhorted. You got to get excited about what God's doing. You got to get moving on what God's doing. You got to get in on the action because there's something going on for all of eternity in this book and you want to be included in it. And it starts at the household of faith. It starts in Christ first, but then the household of faith is where it's at. But there are some that, well, their manner is just to forsake that. Well, I'll hit it every so often. I'll hit it when it's convenient. The Bible says, man, you don't want to forsake the assembling of yourselves together like some folks do. Why? Because it's there where you're going to get the fire, man. It's there when you're going to get the coals put on your mouth. It's there where you're going to get the call. It's there when you're going to get, you're going to be in the safe place. Because you live in a war zone. You live in a place that's been desolated by sin. You live in a world that needs Jesus Christ. And if you don't understand that, it's because you don't understand the Word of God. And if you don't understand your place here, it's because you haven't taken time to seek Him. And if you're seeking Him, then I'm telling you, you're in the right place because we got something for you. I'm amazed at the people who claim to be members of Christ's body, but they never hang out with Christ's body. I'm a member of Christ's body, but I don't want to be with anybody. You know why? Because you're like a Laodicean saying, it's all about you, baby. It's your rights. You just do what pleases you. Everyone does that which is right in their own eyes. See what that gets you? I'll tell you what it'll get you. It'll get you apathy, apostasy. Oh, yeah, that's right, anarchy. And the next thing you know, you're going to be isolated in an island of cucumbers, whatever that means. You're going to be the one surrounded, but you ain't going to have anybody there to help. You know, George Barna wrote a book several years ago called Revolution. By this time in history, none of us are supposed to be here. Church is supposed to fail, and we're all supposed to be doing church out on the golf course because it's so authentic and real, said all the bloggers. You know why you're not doing ministry out on the golf course this morning? Because you would break your driver on those cucumbers. No, I mean, the reality is it's a war zone out there. You aren't going to go out there and do that. This is the household of faith. This is what God ordained to equip. This is the place, or churches like ours, Bible-believing local New Testament churches, are the place that God has ordained to equip the saints of God in the Word of God. They're the place of exhortation. They're the place of preparation. They're the place of nutrition and safety. As those guys piously say, you don't have to go to church to worship God. Okay. Well, go get it then. I'm weak. I got to go to church. You send me out here on my own for a long period of time, I'm going to be hurting. I need church. I need it. I'm not afraid to admit it. Until I get my glorified body, I want to be here every week. How about you? I want to be engaged, man. I want to do what God wants me to do. Like Judah in the days of Isaiah, they wonder, I wonder why I'm so injured. I wonder why my wounds won't heal. I wonder why I got putrefying sores and it just seems like no ointment will fix it. I wonder why. When I've forsaken the Lord's Supper, when I've forsaken forgiveness, when I've forsaken what God's will is, when I've forsaken the Word of God, but I still want to put on the piety of Christianity and I want to play my Christian music, I want to go buy my Christian devotionals from Zondervan. You know Zondervan will not check your ID to make sure you're attending church before they sell you another Christian commentary? They don't care. You know what? You'll get mad at me because I tell you the truth, but Zondervan will keep stealing your money in the name of Christ. So they can fix those wounds you can't get healed because you won't submit to the structure of the local New Testament church and His Word. That's the truth. That's the truth in Laodicea. That's why God's doing this and people aren't listening. They're too busy at the Christian bookstore instead of at the Bible. All right, that's how I really feel. So if you're young in faith, man, you got to get a hold of this because hard times come and you need the church. I'm talking to the Amen Choir. That's why you're here. I get it. Okay. So whoever I'm talking to, I don't know. The atmosphere. Turn over to Psalms, Isaiah 37. Isaiah 37 real quick because I'm running out of time as always. Isaiah chapter 37. I said 36, didn't I? You need to pray for me. All right. Isaiah 36. Now, this is a cool story. What did I say? 36 is where it's at. No, it is not. It's 37. My note. See that marginal note? That's called an alternate call. In the preaching world, that's like Pat Mahomes calling a wasp play, all right? And I think I just fumbled, so I'm rolling out of the pocket, praying to God this works. So, all right. So Isaiah 36 is where it starts, but 37 is where I want to focus. And I'm not just saying that to backtrack on my preacher talk, all right? So if you, and I don't have time to read 36, but in 36 you see there's a crisis in Jerusalem. This is also recorded in 2 Kings chapter 19. You can go back and cross-reference it. And so in 2 Kings 19, and Isaiah records the same story, there's this guy named Sennacherib. And Sennacherib is a world leader. And he's actually, God's allowed this guy to come in and just devastate all of the 10 tribes of Israel. They're already taken captivity. He comes into Judah proper and the last remaining tribe, Judah and Benjamin, and he takes over every city, every city. It'd be akin to, let's say, Russia. You know, they're always the scary people. So Russia or China comes in, they take over every city in the country, and the only thing's left is Kansas City. And we all rush inside the confines of I-435 and inside that circle, man. We're all just hunkered down, you know, just hoping with hope that they don't invade, they don't cross over 435 and come into our perimeter. Like, you got the picture, right? So Jerusalem's a city with walls, and Hezekiah calls the whole city, and it's besieged. There's a reason I'm using this example. It's besieged. You hear me? It's besieged. There ain't nothing out there anymore. It's all been destroyed. And the only safe place to be is in Jerusalem. But the problem is Sennacherib is literally the strongest force militarily on the planet at this time in history. And he himself is laughing and mocking. And I can't even, it's perverse, the things that he's saying to Hezekiah's messengers. I mean, he is just like, guys, what are you doing, you idiots? And I'm just paraphrasing. Don't you know that nobody will stop me from destroying you? Don't you know? He presumes, falsely, that, well, Hezekiah must be getting help from Egypt, right? He must think that somehow Egypt's going to come and save him. Egypt isn't going to do such a thing. I will destroy Egypt too. Sennacherib is not playing. Hezekiah is in a position, man, where he's got to decide, what am I going to do? You know what he's done? He's already taken all the gold he has. He's cut off the temple doors. He's done everything he could to just say, leave us alone. Leave us alone. Take my money. Take all this. Just leave me alone. He's not happy. Sennacherib wants to destroy Jerusalem. And I just mention this because I want you to see what happens when everything's crashing down around him. I mean, this is serious. Church, you can hide behind that Bible, but I'm coming. Do you know the devil wants you today? He wants us today. He wants us. Look at the text, though, in chapter 37, not 36. You can go back and reread the story when you have time, but this is what it comes down to. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it. What's that? All the accusation. All the threats. He rent his clothes. That means he tore his clothes. And he covered himself with sackcloth. You know what he did? He went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribes, and the elders of the priests, and they covered it with sackcloth unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy, for the children are come to birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. He says, hey, Eliakim, you've been a faithful servant. Go tell Isaiah. Eliakim's a great picture of the Holy Ghost, also a type of Christ. Go tell him that Isaiah, that we, you know, we're in a bad way here. We're going to die in birth. We're like a lady getting ready to have a child and we can't bring it forth. We're going to die here. So Hezekiah's got all this. Hezekiah's got one thing going for him. He will not capitulate to Sennacherib. But you know who he does capitulate to? The Lord in the house of God. He comes to the house of the Lord and he says, you know what? I'm the king, but I'm going to come to you and just let you know, send a message. I'm not going to bow my knee to Sennacherib, but I will bow my knee to the Lord God of heaven. Look at that. Look at this. Look at what happens. I love the brevity of this. Verse 4, it may be that the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. Beloved, this is this cottage in a field. This is the place that's in the midst of a bad way. This is a besieged city. So the servant of the king Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say unto your master, thus saith the Lord. Here it comes. Be not afraid of their words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by his own sword, or by the sword in his own land. Period. Over. Two verses, we're done. Now, this is quite a drama. If you go back and read all the details, it's incredible. God's like, oh, no problem. I got it. Thanks for coming. Appreciate it. I got you. And then keep reading the story. That's exactly what happens. Jesus Christ literally whips their tail. He goes back. He ends up getting slain by his own sons. That's the end of the story. But he didn't do that because he didn't run to the wrong place, right? He ran to the right place. He came to the right place. If you're young in the faith, it's especially important that you take advantage of Sundays at HBF. The worship services, the Wednesday night Bible studies, along with the one-on-one discipleship, the relationships that God has for you here are so important. Before you ever worry about going, right, you got to know him. You got to know him. Before you go, before you can say, I'm going for you, Lord, you got to come and see what's going on. I've been there. I've been the guy that did this wrong. I wanted to go for the Lord before I ever went to the local church. I am that guy. I am this guy I'm preaching about, so I know what I'm talking about. I didn't even want to have anything to do with the church. But God had to break my heart, my will, and show me that, you know what, it is submitting to me when you submit to believer's baptism. Where's that done? The local church. It's submitting to me to get your training. Where at? The local church. God had to teach me that. And man, when the storms of life have come, man, it's the local church. It's the local church where you're going to get solace. Come and see, and then come and serve. God calls us to salvation, then observation, as he calls us to see what the body is all about. And then he says, come and see, and you observe, then you participate. The next thing you know, you start serving. You start actually getting active. Sometimes you're itching to be active before you even know what's going on. In the ministry of Jesus, the apostles and the apostle Paul, we see the disciples served at the disposal of Jesus Christ, and they served one another. And we model that every time we serve the Lord's Supper. Just as Jesus multiplied loaves and fishes, the ministry is multiplied miraculously through the hands of human instruments. And the scripture calls ministers or disciples those people that he uses to continue to multiply the ministry. A disciple learns to emulate Jesus, and you know what he does? He serves others. And that's the very definition of the word minister. It's to simply give service. So God's not just calling to salvation this morning. He's not just calling you to attendance. He's actually calling you to get busy and do something. Now in this church, there's a lot you can do. We've not even gotten all the way into Matthew 28, 19 through 20, of course. But the bottom line is, like Isaiah, all saints are called to go ye therefore. If you're saved this morning, I know there's a call in your life. God stirs you up. You are exhorted when you come here. There's something. It may be ministering to your family. It may be ministering to someone at work. It may be something that God is calling you to go and do and be a part of. There's lots of things you can do. For some this morning, that means I need to go to church. You just need to get here. For some others, that means you need to register to be discipled and become a disciple and learn what that's about. For others, maybe you need to submit to believer's baptism. Maybe you need to join this church. Bobby comes to me. She's transferring this morning. She says, I want to be a member of this church. She wants to do it decently and in order. She wants to submit to the structure. She was in one, North Carolina, and now she's back here at home. Now, in our hearts, we've never disconnected. But you know what she's doing? She's like, I'm going to submit to the structure of the local New Testament church. You know why? Because Bobby knows where the safe place is. She knows where the blessed place is. And it's in the confines of God's will in the local New Testament church. And those goes for all of us. For some, that means we need to, you know, you need to sign up for the marriage retreat. By the way, the sign up ends on the 15th, so you need to get in on that if you're going. Some need to, you know what, you need to get ready to come to the teaching on Wednesday night on how to raise your family coming up in March. Some of you need to get involved in life issues. You got addictions, and you just need to humble yourself and say, Steve, what do I need to do? You get involved in that. Pat, what do I need to do? Some of us need to, you know, definitely. We have gaping holes in the Kingdom Kids ministry. We don't even, as a church, we got gaping holes in the sound booth. You don't even have to have a PhD in Bible to help out in the sound booth. Is that right? All right, so you can help out. I mean, we got needs in the children's ministry. And I don't want anybody going into the children's ministry out of pity, feeling like, oh man, they need help in there. No, that's a privilege. I cannot believe that it's not filled up. I mean, we only need somebody once a month. But anyway, whatever. So you know, we need those things filled. You're welcome and wanted in there. There's how to disciple class, right? You're like, man, I want to disciple somebody. I've been through D1. Well, guess what? You just missed this how to disciple class, but we'll have another opportunity coming up this summer. Some say, hey, man, I want to get more discipleship under my belt. Good. D2 is finishing up, but we'll have that coming back around. Maybe you need to register for HBI. Some of you may need to go on a foreign missions trip or a domestic mission trip. Maybe somebody needs to get ready for this fall to go up to Maple City Baptist and join in on that missions trip. Maybe you need to get involved in the Good News Club with Larry and Barb Boucher. And that's a missions trip every week right here to our community. And that's going to be drawn to a close. So maybe you need to be praying about what does it take to get prepared to be entered into that ministry. That's a great outreach ministry. We've had several kids saved this year. I heard a good report about it again this week from somebody that's not here at HBF. Some need to go and just help us mow this facility and take care of the building. Maybe God has you here to be a part of helping Franny out with the coffee and snacks. She could probably use a little help right now over here in the morning, you know. And so, there's so much that you could do. It's not really about doing and going like that. It's just that God has something for you. That's why he's put you here. And in the process of doing this, this is what's going to happen. You're going to rub up against other people. Ushers and greeters. All those, even, there's nothing you do in this church where you're not connected with people. Even if you're mowing the lawn. And that, I hate to tell you, is what ministry is all about. Because God loves people. It doesn't matter what you're doing. And if you're struggling with your love for people, and you're struggling with your love for God's church, I got news for you. You're struggling with your understanding of who God is. You're really struggling with what it is to enter into his place and be holy as he's holy. And guys, you got to have that relationship with God right. Because if it's not right with him, all your other relationships start to fall apart. And in a world that's increasingly isolated, this message that I'm bringing on wholeness and holiness is, I'm not throwing you back to the 1800s. I'm not asking you to get some ascetic lifestyle and beat yourself down and all. I'm not. No, you're holy because Christ is holy. One of the ways you're going to know you're holy is how you view other people and how you view serving other people. And the best place to learn how to do all of that is right where you are in a local New Testament church. And some of you can't go to the next step. Why? Because you're not obedient. You need to deal with the sin in your life. You need to ask, you got to say, God, I am unholy. I'm unclean. Purge me. If that's salvation, great. If it's fornication, great. I don't care what it is. Give it to the Lord. Let him take it off your plate so you can go forward in grace. I could go on and on and on about the things you could do. Randy's going to come up in just a few minutes and talk to you about the Bible publishing ministry. Just that ministry alone, man, God is cranking it up for us to literally get the word to the world. We need people. We do. There is a logistical need for people. And man, praise God for that. What a great problem to have, man. God wants to use us to get his word to the world. What an awesome problem to have. That is the best thing in the world. It's not as important that you figure out what you need to do, but who you are in Christ. If you really want to put handles on ministry and get involved in something and know what it is I'm supposed to do, just get to know Him and capitulate to His will. Just say, God, whatever, whenever, whatever. I think that's what Mark Trotter used to say. Be praying for him. He just had a report that he's got tumors in his bladder or on his bladder. But just be saying, you know what, Lord, whatever. Serve Him as a disciple. It's always good to remember, it was not the church attenders who were called Christians in the book of Acts, was it? It wasn't. It was those who followed Christ. They were called disciples. Those who were first called Christians in Acts, go back and check me out on this. They were the disciples. They were the disciples. If you want to be identified with Christ, answer the call to fulfill His will. And that's going to come through capitulation. Now, the next week, I'm going to pick up two more aspects of this, and I'm going to continue on this subject of fulfilling your ministry. But this morning, I just want to stop right there and ask, what is God asking me, Brian Hedges, what is God asking you to surrender to today? Is there anything that you're not surrendering to the Lord? Let's rephrase that. Because if there is, you must. God has brought you to a point of decision. You must surrender. You got to surrender that to the Lord. So the key word is capitulation. Remember that. Surrender. Right? Like James said, man, we just got to give up. Remember that story of Hezekiah? Hezekiah was in a place. You know, the pressure was on. God didn't put him in a place where he could get out of it. He had to make a decision. I'm either going to submit to Sennacherib and his will to destroy me, or I'm going to submit to the Lord in circumstances that seem like it's impossible. Beloved, God will always do that. You know why? Because He needs us to respond by faith. He's calling us today to believe His word. Would you believe His word today? What's He asking you to submit to? Would you do it? Would you believe Him by faith? Heavenly Father, we thank You for